Hello everyone, this is a disclaimer from the Retro Resistance. I had a feeling that during this podcast that we'd run into some troubles with copyrights, so I uploaded it earlier in secret the other week, and lo and behold, those f**kwits at YouTube decided to be a complete bunch of and decide to sit there and say, "Oh, you're in breach of copyright." Now, for the f**kwits that go and listen to this sort of thing, there are people on there with many dedicated WWF fan videos, and they don't get pulled. And this is one of the things that really pisses me off as far as I go. But either which way, I'm not complaining anymore. In fact, I've gone down to personally to sort the whole problem out. Hello, let's sort this out right now, shall we? You know something, I feel a hell of a lot better right now.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of the Retro Resistance. This is episode 13. Today I am the Asperger's Gamer 64 and I am with...
The one, the only, the adorable, or so that's what my mother keeps telling me, ZXPXR.
Hi, and I'm out 1976.
Where'd you come from? this is usually a two-man podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, everybody, we've gained some new tech and so we've now been able to record with three people.
Yeah.
So triple your pleasure.
I just thought of something though, because this is like 13, yeah? Isn't that supposed to be unlucky? Oh,
yeah, it's supposed to be.
Oh, I don't believe in all that fucking rubbish.
No,
anyway.
I don't. Yeah, every time Friday the 13th comes around, everyone sits and goes, "Ooh, beware, Friday the 13th, Friday the 13th. I always have good luck on Friday the 13th for some strange and apparent reason. I just don't know why.
That reminds me of a story. My mate's girlfriend was on about horror films and that, and she said, "Hasn't Halloween got something to do with Friday the 13th? I said, "It's got fuck all to do with it." She says, "Well, it is Friday the 13th. I said, "Yeah, but Halloween's not on Friday the 13th.
Oh, dearie me.
The name is in the title. Halloween. Yeah. Not Friday the 13th. Halloween. Get your facts straight.
Yeah.
There's another classic like that. Was on about, like, I know this has got nothing to do with retro gaming. I was on about, like, Vietnam films. I said, "Oh, I think Apocalypse Now and Platoon are probably the best ones." And anyway, she turned around and she says, "Oh, what about Saving Private Ryan?" I said, "That's not a Vietnam film."
Oh, the only other one you could probably add to the list of greats is Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. It always reminds me of that. You ever played Fatal Fury Special? The guy in that's called Lawrence. And it always reminds me of the drill instructor. I'm like, "I don't like the name Lawrence. Only faggots and sailors are called Lawrence."
that drill instructor is legendary. I've not seen anybody else try and do a drill instructor like that in any other film. So it's legend. But that film is awesome. But anyway, no, away from films, away from films.
Yeah.
Quick, poke them with a sharp stick. What are we here to talk about this fortnight, guys?
We're going to talk about wrestling games.
Yes. So this is probably going to sound a bit puffy, but a bit of rough and tumble and with big strong men and that just how much more can I gay that up?
Yeah, that's it.
but no, we're here to talk about the good old fashioned wrestling games. What do you say, guys?
Yeah.
Yes.
The old fashioned WWF games before it became entertainment.
Entertainment. Ooh.
I think the reason why they changed it is because they were getting into shit with WWF, the actual thing with the saving pandas and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, because WWF, the Wildlife Federation, kept suing them because
they'd had it longer.
They went up to sit this. They said, "Oh, we're going to sue you for this, fees like this." And Vince McMahon went, "Oh, fair enough, I'll just change my name." And that's how it became WWE. And they would sit there like, no, we want court battles. We want to fight you in the courtrooms. And they're like, no, we'll just change our name.
Yeah.
They were sitting there waving their little panda flag, sitting there basically pissing in the wind and getting very wet. Before we move on to our little subject of the month, let's see. Let's flip a coin to see who's going to go first and decide what talk about what we've been up to this week. Who wants heads? Who wants tails?
Heads.
Heads. On a second, flipping a coin. Good thing I've got this little coin app on here, so flick it up. And it's tails. Malt goes first.
Right.
What have you been up to,
what
mate?
What have I been up to? Well, mainly, I've been playing on the PS2 and playing a lot of Spectrum games, believe it or not.
Yay! Sorry. what have you been playing on the PS2 first, bud?
On the PS2, I've been playing mainly Die Hard Arcade, Dynamite Deco, as it's called, on the one I've got, because it's a Japanese version. Because I got that compositive lead. I think I may have talked about this on a podcast before. And it makes it so much better quality than just using the RGB SCART lead on a HDTV. So I've been playing that. And I found out about that Smash TV thing. You know, I said it ages ago. Because it's actually got the video on the Midway Treasures Collection. The same video that's on the PS1 version of that sort of thing, compilation. And the guy says he can clear Smash TV on one credit. And I'm like, bullshit.
Yeah, it's crazy. There's a strange smell emitting from the corner.
I'll be a monkey's uncle if someone can actually finish it in one credit.
Yeah, and on basic settings for the arcade machine especially. Three lives, one credit, not a chance.
Well,
we tried it.
I couldn't even get to Mutoid Man on one credit.
No, I set it to 9 lives and I still couldn't even get it. And the funniest thing, I set it to easiest skill level as well.
Yeah.
Or do you think it could be a fact that we just suck at the game?
Yeah.
I don't think it's possible. Honestly, don't think it's possible. I honestly don't.
You have to be proper dedicated to the game just to actually get through one credit.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It was one of those games in the arcade which was designed to just wear your money supply out big time.
Definitely.
So
in that way, it works really well, then.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Midway definitely had a winner going on with that one. Was it Midway or was it Williams? I know it was one of the two of them, but they definitely had a winner going on with that one. Cheers, Matt. So, Will, what have you been up to?
Well, I've been doing my video game reviews. I've been taking a look at some Commodore games. Also, I've been playing Skull Tag with you and Blim.
Yay! All up for Skull Tag.
Yay. What else? I've just been watching some Sentai Liver Man and just other various things I like to watch as well.
You know what the problem is? It's supposed to be just Live Man, but you're starting to pronounce it how they sing it in the theme tune, because they say Live Man, don't they?
Live Man, yeah. Because Toys just says, oh, it's just called Live Man or Live Man, whatever you want to call it, it's the same basic thing.
Yeah, and then they start saying, oh, we'll sing it a little bit differently in the song. You're like,
oh, God.
But we playing on the old Skull Tag together, and I think it was a 3-0 drubbing I gave you guys last night.
Yes, you did.
Ooh, yeah.
All right. So, I'm not one of the so-called hardcore Call of Duty players, but at least I play games for fun.
Yeah, it's true. Like I say, we was playing it yesterday, but I said after when we finished those games, I just felt really refreshed.
Yeah, I did as well.
After all, and it was just a great feeling. I was sitting there because it was fast. It was really high paced.
What game was it then?
We was playing standard Doom 2 Deathmatch.
Oh yeah, I'll have to play Doom. As I say, I hate first person shooters, mainly because of the reason I'm complete shit at them. But luckily, I will have a go on it.
But luckily, with this Skull Tag, we can play Doom all four of us together.
Yeah, cooperatively.
Totally.
It's a shame we can't get Quake 2, because Quake 2 is probably my favourite one out of any of them sort of games.
You could probably try Quake 2 hanging around somewhere, and I do believe that was co-op as well.
Yeah, I think it was.
Hey, so we're going on a quest to find a copy of Quake 2.
I used to have it when I first moved here. I don't know what I've done with it. I don't think it'll run on Windows 7 anyway.
Quake 2 work on Skull Tag?
No, because it uses a completely different... Nah, it's a different graphics engine. The Skull Tag was designed to work with the original Doom engine, so iffy, but...
I mean, Doom's all right. Don't get me wrong, yeah. I do like Doom.
Well, you should join us one night when we're doing it co-op.
Yeah.
Oh, God, can you imagine what it's going to be like fighting for ammunition?
Oh, God. Even the hardest difficulty.
Oh, that wasn't just hard, that was just ridiculous.
What about, would Wolfenstein work on it then?
No, that was only ever a single player game. But apparently there is a group that's actually trying to work on a multiplayer Wolfenstein through the original engine. That would be good if I could see it, put it that way.
Yes.
I'd like to see that.
See, I've never completed Wolfenstein. I've never really played Wolfenstein that much. I've played the new one more. I just wondered, who's the last boss in that? Has it got Mel Gibson? I mean, Adolf Hitler in it.
Mel Gibson!
Oh,
Wolfenstein 3D style Mel Gibson as Adolf Hitler. Oh.
I think he'd be up for doing a movie like that.
You know something, I wouldn't be surprised. The original Wolfenstein, because it was supposed to be the first three episodes of SB, it was Hitler was the final boss.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
Yeah, and then there was just some randomly generated, I think his translation of his name was Officer Fatface or something like that. ID's idea of a running joke, especially in German, but that was about it. And also, guys, I managed to get a nice shiny copy of Max Payne 3.
I've got it on the, well, I haven't got it. My mate lent it me on the 360, and I'm well impressed with it.
You see if you get older the old ones, Will, but Max Payne 3, my God, that is a beautiful game. Beautiful game.
The thing with the first two I didn't like is, if you're like a complete wuss and that, you can save it every single time you go around the corner or anything on Max Payne 1 and 2. And that, in my mind, you know, ruins the game. Makes it too easy.
Yeah, they got the more sort of...
But you can't do that on a new one, can you?
Nah, you can't. So you have to do it similar to how the console goes. So anyone who really does suck at it is going to suck hard on it. So.
Well, I can't clear it anyway. I'm stuck at it at the minute. And then, now my mate's got it back, so I'll have to lend it off him again.
You're probably further than me anyway. Okay, right, so that's what we've all been up to. Just to give a little heads up as well, I've a Skulltag server up and running now. We now know how to do it and keep it up and running. So if anybody's interested and is listening on the podcast, and maybe find a bit of Skulltag with a bit of Doom one night, I'll be putting information up on the Retro Asylum forum at nights where we'll be setting up a Doom game. So please grab your WAD files and let us know and see if we can sort together a nice, great big pile up, and we'll just run out and kill each other for hours on end. That's it. So good to you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'll have a go. I've got a new something that I'm going to be playing my PC games on, like one of them. It's like a mini keyboard, but it's got the trackball and everything in it. I don't know how. It might be totally shit, but I don't know. It was only cheap for Maplins anyway.
You want Blim's keyboard? Oh dear lord, that is a beast. We keep going on about his keyboard, so if you want to know what Blim's keyboard is all about, just go input Logitech G19. this thing has its own power supply. It's so beefy. And that's you can sit there and watch YouTube on a small screen that's on the keyboard, seriously. But either which way, that's us done for what we've been up to. Shall we get on to what we've come here for, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
All right, so let's get ready to rumble, as what they say. So, Mel, there's something you got a gripe with on something a bit modern but slightly retro at the moment, isn't there, mate?
Yeah, it hasn't actually came out yet. But from what I've seen, I think the new remake sort of thing of WrestleFest looks appalling. It's got really shit animation, and it just looks nowhere near as good as a game that came out, 1989 or something? 1990 maybe?
Yeah, so I think it may even be earlier than that. I'm not quite sure with WrestleFest. I did see over it, and I can see what they've tried to do. They've tried to keep the sort of element of the original WrestleFest line, but put some of the more modern, up-to-date wrestlers in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't work. Have you seen Up and Running, Will?
No, I have seen some gameplay footage, but I've not played it.
The thing I see with this adaptation is anyone who buys that game is obviously well aware of its original roots. So they would be well renowned with the wrestlers that was in the original game.
Yeah, that's right.
And to give you the truth and honesty, I would have been more than happy to buy it if they didn't have all those extra new ones in there. I'd more than happily play a HD version of the original. More than happy. But no, they decided to move the time, and then you got the likes of Bum Boy John Cena and...
Yeah, Eddie Guerrero.
Oh, God. But we can always talk about the original one, can't we?
Yeah, the original one's superb.
It was. I can remember seeing in the arcade. I was like, seeing it. And when you look at it, and especially when they got a big screen one, the graphics were big and bold, and the cartoon effect that was on it was just really, really good. And you just see people just mashing on the buttons. It only used a two-button system as well. And that was the whole amusing side to it. But it was just a fantastic game. It had, for the time, it had all the big names of the wrestlers that are in there as well. Was it the big tag team Demolition, Hogan? I believe the Boss Man was in there.
Ultimate Warrior.
Yep, Sergeant Slaughter, I believe, was in there too.
Yeah.
So these were some of the good household names at the time. And if you managed to win all your matches, you got your match against the Legion of Doom. And the Legion of Doom are just awesome.
Yeah, they are.
It's, They are. And that's a game I love loading up in MAME and just smashing my joypad about and really giving it some. We must go on MAME Hub sometime and try to see if we can get that four player. We really must.
Yeah, we keep saying that. We'll definitely have to, because apparently it works better now.
Yeah, there's been a lot of upgrades of it. Will, what was your impression of... I imagine you played WrestleFest once it came through on the arcade emulation.
Actually, I really, really enjoyed it because Taito did a really fantastic job on it.
Mm.
It felt like you played a proper wrestling arcade game. Yeah, because you have to keep, like, smashing the buttons just to kick out the pin and get it up, and it was all brilliant.
Mm, it was great. And there was also the part as well where if you wanted your health back, you'd bang another coin in.
Yeah.
And then recharge health, which is good for the emulation version. You stick it on free play and just keep banging your health up whenever it gets too low.
It's like they've been pulled to a lot of steroids.
And you can have a Royal Rumble on it as well.
That's, yeah, there's
right,
a Royal Rumble.
You can select, can't you? Either Royal Rumble or... what's the other ones?
The Saturday Night main event, which is the big tag matches. So I just think it was just really... What was your fond memories of it, Malk?
Oh, I think it's a superb game. I'm not the biggest wrestling fan, to be totally honest, like, but a few arcade games, well, not all the arcade games, but we'll talk about that one later. But with the two that were by Technos, which is that WrestleFest and Superstars, which we're going on to in a bit, I think they were both superb.
They were.
That was when, I think, myself, wrestling was really popular when they first came out in the late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, it was, because like I say, when you had that part of there, like when the Superstars was about, the wrestlers just seemed more charismatic back then as well. As I said, there was more flair to them. You know these guys. And in today's wrestling, I think a lot of them have kind of, they've just gone... Well, just stale. They're just, it's just like, oh, look, this is so. They just don't have any identity no more, do they?
No.
They're just standard sort of people. It's like when you look in the past, well, we'll look at some of the people on was it Superstars? I think the Boss Man is on Superstars. Yeah. Again, you look at him, you come down with his nightstick, big sort of jail guard. Hogan was the guy that could never be beaten and the one that all wrestlers were afraid of. And I think with WWF Superstars on the arcade, I always used to sit there and just watch the big video of Mean Gene Okerlund in this sort of cartoony form interviewing Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant, and that even still impresses me to this day.
Yeah, because he talks only in it, Andre the Giant. He says something. Yeah. I don't know what he says, but I can't remember.
He's French. He grunts.
But French Canadian. Yeah, yeah.
No, he's French. He's proper French.
Andre
the Giant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. When did he pass away?
1993. Yeah.
93. Oh, bless him. He, one of the first original big men.
Yeah,
and he was 7'2", I think.
Fucking hell.
Yep, 7'2" and over 500 pounds.
Yeah, a lot of health problems.
Yeah.
But really tall people like that, exceptionally tall, do, don't they? It was like, I know a guy from school, he was about 7 foot odd and he died like when he was 25.
Yeah, it's just strange. But even when you play the WWF Superstars game, there was a scale to the wrestlers as well. Andre was big, and his
he could stun you if he just slapped you, couldn't he? Pretty much could. Straight away.
And again, they used the same system as what they transferred into WrestleFest, the two button system, and it just seemed to work. Two buttons, one for punching, and one for grappling, and it just worked really, really well. I can just remember sitting there hammering on the buttons, get up, on money back in, full health, get up.
I like it when you get out of the ring as well and whack them with a chair.
Oh, yes. Always good. Come on, you tell me, even in wrestling games nowadays, you don't go out of that ring and go hit somebody to deliberately get yourself disqualified. I like hitting the ref sometimes, I really do. There were some other wrestling games that were in the arcades at the time, but they just, from what I see, they just weren't on the same level as what the WWF ones. I remember Sega had one called or something like that.
Yeah.
And that had some really bad renditions of Hulk Hogan in it without a face, and that was just technically bad. It wasn't until after, was it WrestleFest, I think they really upped the quality of wrestling games on arcade machines. Especially, Capcom's one, the Saturday Night Slam Masters.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
See, the one. I've never really played that myself, to be totally honest.
Go, will you tell us what you think of Slam Masters?
It just kind of feels like it's like the Final Fight engine, but like in a wrestling game. It's just the energy drains and pin them.
Mm. And of course, he's got everyone's favourite character in as well, Mike Hagar. Yeah. Yes. Everyone likes being Mike Hagar. Anybody was wondering, it's like, I remember a few people sitting there goes, why would they say Mike Hagar's a wrestler when you've actually never seen him wrestling? It's like, you've obviously never played those games.
No, because that's more to his backstory.
That puts a lot more in. And again, the for the time as well, the things like Ring of Destruction and Saturday Night Slam Masters, they also had nice big sprites as well. And they also did this sort of differentiations in the characters. They all had their own good personal looks. And so they all differentiated, so they just weren't generic as some of the ones that were on some other wrestling games. But Capcom, I think, did come up with a good winner with the Slam Master series. That was a fun set, I guess. And again, certain versions of that were four-player too. That's definitely thumbs up in my opinion. And then we wandered on, and then what happened, of course, there was home versions, especially with the WWF at the time hogging all the licenses, weren't they? So I think it was Superstars on the Nintendo was the first one that I remember playing. Anyone else play that one?
No, I've never played it, to be totally honest.
No.
Which was the one you played on the Nintendo, Will?
Never really owned them on the Nintendo, but the one that I mostly played for emulation is actually wrestling on the NES.
Ah, tell us about that one, mate, because I think me and Malcolm are not too sure on that one.
Well, it's actually a non-licensed wrestling game. It was done by Nintendo's R&D. It was actually one of the early, but you know, the black box NES game.
Yeah,
it was one of those early ones. It was like, actually, really, if you played WrestleMania, WrestleFest on the NES, it really makes it a whole lot better. Now you can actually select the reason these non-licensed wrestlers. These are more like genetic wrestlers. You got like your average Japanese wrestler, your Lucha Libre wrestler, you've got your Puerto Rican wrestler, you've got your All-American wrestler, you've got your gimmicks wrestlers, and...
Oh, nice.
Like, all like that. But then when you actually start the game, it has more variety of movesets. When you actually grab an opponent, when you're trying to pick him up, he does this grunt face. It means he's not strong enough to actually pick him up. But then
back in the day, they actually had the ability, so like a smaller wrestler couldn't actually pick up a bigger one.
No, they're all equally sized. They're all same size.
Oh, okay.
So then when you're trying to pick him up, it was this grunt thing, but you can actually punch him and spin kick him to wind him down a bit, so you can do like power slams, suplexes, and all sorts. But one thing that I really liked about it is some wrestlers had two special moves.
Mm.
For example, like Starman, if you run across the thing, run across the ring and press A, it'll do this giant chop. And if you grab the opponent, it'll do this, like, this jump kick or something.
Ah. Sounds very complex for an old Nintendo game, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is complex. You have to press like up and A or up and B or something like that. They'll do like various moves. And also you can jump on the corner, like over top of the rope, and do like slam splashes and drops. And you can also take him outside the ring, and you can actually throw him outside the ring as well.
Oh, nice. That's
quite
like... You can
also throw him into the barricade as well.
Oh, even better. Nothing quite like throwing your opponent outside the ring and landing.
You can't attack the referee or cameraman.
that would be good. So is that pro wrestling on the Nintendo, yeah? The original NES?
Yeah, really recommend that over WrestleMania on NES.
Well, I remember one of the, I think it was WWF Superstars on the original Nintendo, and you'd be in the ring, but if you ran to the bottom of the ring, because it was inside like a diamond sort of thing, your character would shrink. And then it's funny because Andre the Giant was one of the characters there, and you go from being, you stand at the top and you're like Andre the Giant, you go to the bottom of the ring, you're now Andre the Midget. So it was just one of those things. I think there were some graphical problems with that game. The perspective was slightly off. Can you remember any other games on the 8-bit era, Malk? Or?
Only on the arcade. I remember a game called Mat Mania, but that's got nothing to do with WWF.
Tell us about it, mate.
Well, it was pretty good. It was a pretty good arcade game. I think I played a Japanese version. I think it's called I think that's by Technos, to be fair. I'm pretty sure it is.
Ah, could have been the precursor.
See, I played it at the fair years ago, but it was a Japanese arcade cabinet, so I didn't know what the name of the game was, because obviously it comes up in Japanese. A few years later, one of my friends from school told me, oh, it's Rock and Wrestle. So I bought that on a Commodore 64, Rock and Wrestle, and thought, because to be totally honest, I didn't like the Rock and Wrestle game at all. I know a lot of people do really like it. And I think Andy done a 8-bit wars on it.
I think a lot of people got stuck in it, because at the time there was a lot of diehard WWF fans, and there wasn't any WWF games, weren't there? You look at WrestleFest was there, and so were Superstars, but there was no home ports.
No.
No, that's not true.
Ocean done one. I think Ocean's the only company that's done one on the 8-bit computers.
Oh, we'll get to that in a moment.
But yeah, anyway, I was disappointed with that Rock and Wrestle. But I mean, if you look at it now, like if you look at Andy's video, it is quite a good game. But I was just disappointed it wasn't the same one as what I played on the arcade.
Ah, well, like I say, I don't think Technos had really taken off in the UK at that point. I think it was only when Double Dragon came out is when Technos really got noticed.
Yeah, they got Taito to release it for them, didn't they?
Yeah, it's true. I don't know why they should have done it themselves. And also when Renegade popped up as well, that's also when Technos would have been slightly recognised if people could be bothered reading small print. Yeah, so I think that covered probably the best ones of the 8-bit era from what we can remember. So the arcades... at the time, they had the superior wrestling games in all aspects for it, and just no good home conversions. But of course, the 16-bit era came round. I think the WWF were pretty dominant in this 16-bit era.
They were.
Because there was very few WCW wrestling games, weren't there?
There was only one on the Super Nintendo, and that was about how I was WCW Super Brawl, was it?
I've never seen
never
it.
Played
I
that
have,
one.
But I'm not going to talk about it because I don't remember it that much.
On the rating.
THQ?
I think so. No, I can't remember now.
Okay. Out of 10, if it was, it would have been appalling anyway. That's probably why no one's heard of it.
True. Okay, well, on the rating of crap to shit, what would you put it as?
Shit.
Okay, then. So that answers that one. That was this one. But I think the standout title for both the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive was Super WrestleMania.
Yeah.
On the two of them. And that was on both versions. There was various other... games on there as well, things like Raw Rumble. I think WrestleMania is the one that most people remember.
Well, Raw is pretty much the best one.
I never played Raw.
Raw is because my brother is his wrestling fan, and he's actually said Raw on the Super Nintendo is the best one.
Well, for the 16-bit era?
Yeah, because Raw was actually the best one to get.
I didn't realise. Was that done by THQ, though?
No, the same company, the LGN, I think. The funny thing is, if you play Super WrestleMania, Raw Rumble, and WWF Raw, you see, they made it better and better.
That's saying something for LJN, though.
Right. Compared to Super WrestleMania, you got your basic matches and all like that. You can do, like, you know, usual jump kicks and all like that.
Mm.
But in, you know, you can't hit the referee, can't you?
Yeah. If you do it too many times, you get disqualified.
Yeah. But on WWF Raw, sorry, you can actually knock the referee over and smack him with a chair right in knowing.
That was a feature that kind of started getting a bit more predominant in the future games.
Newer superstars, but one thing I did like about it is like this Mega Drive, the Super Nintendo version, had different wrestlers.
Yeah, there was some differentiations between the two.
Yeah, but funny thing is, on the Raw Rumble on the Mega Drive, it had Hulk Hogan, but by that time, Hulk Hogan left the WCW.
So it's all a matter of timing and releasing, wasn't it? I think because they may get it, the game may be done and be released, but then, of course, storyline moved on. And, of course, Hogan left. It's only if they up to today's sort of thing, I remember, where they can get things done. There was a whole hoo-ha when Chris Benoit killed his wife, where Vince immediately demanded the game as it was ceased and Benoit removed before it was actually released. So that year it was actually a little bit later because he did not want Benoit in there because he kind of got a gist that something rather dubious happened. Mind you, he was losing it at the point. Anyway, Malk, what was your what do you remember of the WrestleMania games on the Mega Drive and Super Nintendo?
Well, I think the Mega Drive one is better. I think they did with the Super NES one, because it was one of the launch titles in the UK and America, so I think they sort of rushed it out, whereas the Mega Drive one does have a lot more things to it, don't it? More moves and all sorts.
Yeah, it does. In that one, the special moves.
Exactly, and on the Super NES, it just feels like it's unfinished.
Yeah.
It weren't great, because I wanted the arcade game. Sorry.
Yeah, I can agree. It felt like bare bones compared to the Mega Drive version.
I just like, for the Mega Drive, I was like, when you sit there punching each other, there was this sort of really meaty crunch when you're sitting there smacking each other in. Mm-hmm. And it just felt really, really nice. And it just played really, really well. And it was a nice difficulty too. It wasn't too easy and it just wasn't impossible on any sort of skill level. It was just really, really nice on the whole entire board. And of course, they've got to keep it up for the sake of the fact it's WrestleMania. It's their big daddy for all their wrestling shows. And
oh yeah, WrestleMania is like their big money draw.
Oh yeah. So of course, so the game has got to be good. Yeah, tell that to Acclaim, who turned around and made the arcade game for the WrestleMania, the arcade game.
Well, I think they only converted it, to be fair.
Maybe so.
It was by, what's it called, weren't it? Oh, we've done Mortal Kombat. Like, cool.
Yeah, well, you tell us a bit more about this. What a lot of people say a big bomb site of a game.
Well, it is about that. That WrestleMania, the arcade game, is pretty much like a toned down version of Mortal Kombat.
It is. Because the control system.
Because they use the same type graphics. They got the real wrestlers to be in it as well. So basically, they were digital ties. But they didn't goofy stuff in doing the clown. If you play as him, you get a giant shoe thrown at you and all sorts. You get Undertaker, Tombstone gets thrown smack at you. Just like a goofy version, innit?
It was. Well, I would say actually, we could probably give it some credit for being an offshoot. We can't really call it a wrestling game. We could call it a fighting game.
We'll call it a fighting game. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Would you call it more of a fighting game than a wrestling game, Malk?
Mm. Yeah, because you don't actually have to pin them, do you, really? Michaels can just pull a baseball bat out of nowhere and whack him with it. I got it for the PlayStation 1. My mate said, you've got to get this, it's amazing on the arcade and all this, so I did, and I thought it was shit.
Apparently the 32X version of it is actually quite good. A lot of people turned around and said that the 32, because they released that version as well, apparently, on the Super Nintendo and the Mega Drive, but you're running on very limited power, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, with that one. But the 32X gave it the extra push it needed.
Yeah, but the 32X failed.
Yeah, we all know that family. But the surprising thing is, even though the Super Nintendo being the more dominant of the two machines, right, the Super Nintendo only has 6 characters, where the Mega Drive version actually had all 8. So, there's something to give
some. You see, sometimes the Mega Drive does do the games a lot better than the Super NES.
Yeah, they do, because Super Nintendo had this friendly image, didn't they?
Censorship was more
around Super Nintendo, but Mega Drive didn't really have that lot of censorship thing, did they? They were more to the mature crowd, weren't they?
Yeah, because they done gaming for everybody. The other thing with WrestleMania, the arcade game, the funny thing, I could see the comedy aspects to it as well. I love the fact you just kick Yokozuna and that some fish come flying out of him. And was it Lex Luger, his big elbow turns into a steel rod or something like that, because that was his gimmick at the time, wasn't it? Apparently,
they were trying to make him the next Hulk Hogan, but fans didn't want anything like that.
No, Luger
was trying to be the next All American.
Yeah, Luger was a likable character over history for proper wrestling, but the whole narcissist thing when they brought him into the WWF, I didn't buy that.
No.
When they turned him into the All American sort of thing, you're kind of spinning on Hogan here, but you never will be Hogan. But you're a good substitute for now. Now go away, Luger.
It is a little interesting fact. Originally, at WrestleMania 10, Luger was supposed to win the WWE title and lose against Yokozuna, but he got drunk and blabbed to a New York Times paper and told him that he was going to told the you know the story, you know the. When they tell them what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to a newspaper, but Vince didn't like it, so that's why he got screwed.
Oh, what was you going
to
say about?
Didn't Hulk Hogan have someone in WCW that was supposed to be his, nephew or something?
Funny thing is, it is actually his real nephew in real life.
Horace. Seriously?
Yeah. That's his nephew, and that's his real nephew.
The
strange things that happen, isn't it?
Yeah, that's his real nephew. Is it Hector?
I think Raw was the final one in the sort of 16-bit era alongside gaming, wasn't it, for wrestling? And then of course, we were started to hit the PlayStation era and also the Nintendo 64.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and Acclaim, now they released another offshoot of WrestleMania on the PlayStation called In Your House. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh,
that
yes.
One was terrible, apparently.
I had that on PlayStation 1.
Oh, that was just sitting there. It's like, look, you've delivered us another. It's 4-player, that's all it is. And some different wrestlers. And it was a home version only. There was no arcade version of that one.
No,
so.
It was a proper home version point.
Didn't they actually say that? We will capitalise on the success of WrestleMania. It wasn't successful. Shut up. We just wanted to make an excuse to make another game.
Because I think that sort of time in the 90s, that was when WCW was coming in as being more successful.
Mm-hmm. It was, because the NWO was starting to appear.
Yeah.
And to me, the NWO era for Eric Bischoff, you are a fucking genius.
Mm.
Absolute genius. And to actually sit there, because the WWF at the time was the big dog.
Yeah.
And then he brought up the NWO and took over and made WCW more popular. Then what does he go and do? He does the dumbass thing and then turns around and sits and say, oh, look, Mick Foley's won the WWF Championship. And what happened? Everybody turned Nitro off and watched Raw.
Oh, no. Oh, you said, because that's what they did, because Nitro was live and Raw was recorded, so they were able to give out results.
Yeah, straight up. And as I said, it's like, oh, Bischoff, you idiot. You should not have done that. Because there's, I was like, how to get all your viewers to turn off WCW, just sit there and tell them something better is happening on the WWF show, especially with such a likable character as Mick Foley.
They did have some good things on WCW, though. I remember one match I watched, because my favourite wrestler in that used to be Sting.
Oh, yeah.
He's done it for years, didn't he?
Sting's still about.
Is he?
He's in TNA.
He's in TNA. Yeah.
He's better than what he was when he used to be in the police.
I think he's bulked up a bit, hasn't he? He's been on the steroids.
But yeah, what was I going to say? Yeah, he was in, I think he was fighting Vader. I'm not sure. And he got locked in his cage. And RoboCop come in out of nowhere and bust him out of the cage.
Oh, I actually saw that clip on YouTube. It's funny as hell. You like say, oh, you can't take this seriously, but RoboCop was in the pictures at the time. We'll let him off with that one. But like I say, Acclaim had then announced their next title, which would be WWF Warzone. And to give you the truth and honesty, I was like, oh, no. At that point, then THQ had gained the WCW license.
Yeah, that's right.
But we'll go to Warzone. And we could include Attitude as well, because they were basically the same game with the character. And all I could say was, wow, what a change. What an absolute change. You now had some proper wrestling simulator, in an essence. You got proper moves. There wasn't anything stupid like there was in Your House. They went back to the good old-fashioned grounding of wrestling. Malk, you played that, the Warzone one as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. It's that's one of the first ones that's in 3D as well, isn't it? I won't be wrong.
I think it was one of the first ones, yeah.
Yeah, because I was really impressed with that, and it's one I had on a PlayStation myself.
It was good. Cause did you ever have the multi-tap for it?
No, never had one. I still haven't got one for the PS2. Neither. Never had one, no.
I did for my original PlayStation, and I used to go with my mates every Sunday. And we used to play that game to death. We all had custom wrestlers, custom movesets. Oh, just
the closest thing we've ever done with that, like, is I took my Mega Drive, my PlayStation 1 around my mate's house, and we linked up with two tellies and his PlayStation 1 and played Doom like that, and we played Ridge Racer Revolution like that as well.
All good, that one. And then they suddenly realised, hold on a second, we can actually get two players on one machine.
Yeah, but it's not as good, though, is it, if you've got, like, split screen and all that rubbish? Especially with Doom, my mate Rich, if he's listening, when we used to play, that's when we first started playing PC first-person shooters, we had this one called Doubt Force, and he didn't tell me basically how you use the compass to see where they're hiding, because it's just me and him playing Link, the two PCs actually linked together, his laptop and my old, really old PC. And he used to be a cheating bastard, and look at my monitor. He'll say he didn't. If he was here, or if he's listening to this and comments on YouTube or whatever, he'll say he didn't, but he fucking did.
We all know. But Will, your impressions of Warzone Attitude?
Well, I played Attitude first before Warzone, but I did have Warzone on the Super Nintendo. I did play the N64 version as well.
They were in essence the same games, they just the N64 had the smoother graphics.
Oh yeah, it did. And I did try and played it, I suppose, but it was just, but one thing I really liked about it, because you could unlock like Cactus Jack and Dude Love, that would be awesome. And it was also the last wrestling game, I believe, to have Bret Hart in it.
I believe it was, yeah. Because at that point, after he then changed to transfer to WCW, didn't he?
Unique thing I liked about it, you know, the main guy from Turok?
Yeah.
He was actually in it as a playable wrestler.
Yeah, he was on the N64 version, but he wasn't on the...
No.
Oh, he was on the PlayStation version, but they gave you the parts of the creator wrestler to do him. So that's. But I would imagine at the time when you look at Turok Dinosaur Hunt, and anybody would want to beat him up.
Didn't they try doing a new one of them?
What, Turok?
Yeah.
God,
not
I don't
so long
know.
Ago. Before Acclaim went bankrupt, and it was terrible.
Yeah, I'll say, did they? It shows how no one cares about him. But at the time where was it, the WWF was riding high, and then I look at the WCW games on the PlayStation, they were terrible.
Well, the ones in Nintendo 64 were brilliant.
Oh yeah, we'll get that at the moment. But the was it? I think they did Thunder and Nitro.
Yeah,
I've got Thunder.
They
don't even react to the move, to the moves properly or anything. And I tried playing it loads and loads of times.
And they one of them, you had a special YMCA ring where you hold down the button and you start doing the YMCA. All you did was throw your opponent over the ring, hold the button down, they get counted out. Because they can't move because of what you're doing. I'm like, it was just horrible. And then after Attu came out, and then THQ then turned around and said, we've now got the WWF license. And I'm like, I was like, oh shit.
Well, I don't know. I think it may have been EA actually who done it, but there was a good WCW one on the PlayStation. Mayhem was really good.
Mayhem was brilliant.
Mayhem was good. Backstage Assault was...
Fighting backstage.
Mayhem, Mayhem was the first one where you could like literally go out the ring and go backstage and just whack someone.
WWF actually was going to do that, but they kind of took it out. Don't know why.
Would have been a good segue. But THQ then had taken the license and bought SmackDown. Now, when I first heard the announcement, of course, they had no screenshots or anything like that. And I'm not going to lie, I was crying.
Well, it's like we said before, originally, THQ, I mean, they started off with NES games, didn't they? And Mega Drive games, and like your classics like Home Alone and Wayne's World, Pit Fighter. You know, they didn't have a single good game, I don't think, on the Super NES, really. Or the Mega Drive. And then when they started doing them on the, you know, your 32-bit, your PlayStation and that, they originally were shit, weren't they? But then they started getting better and better. And I think nowadays, I mean, to be totally fair, they do make some good games.
They do. And but when SmackDown came out, I was sitting, I was dreading it. But then when I started seeing some screenshots, and I saw how it was just so different to how they did the WCW games, I was just really pleasantly surprised when I started playing SmackDown. I really did enjoy it. It was fantastic transition from making extremely crap wrestling games to really good wrestling games.
Yes.
So in one game franchise circle, they'd completely spun themselves around, hence why they still have license today.
Oh yeah, they do.
What was your opinion on SmackDown, guys?
I never really played it. I only played one of them more than the first one.
Matt, did you play much of the original SmackDown?
I don't think I did, to be totally honest. I think I may have had it. See, this is the thing, I get mixed up with the names of the wrestling games because there's so many of them. I had quite a lot on my PlayStation 1 because I used to get my games off one of my friends. He used to get them pretty cheap. So I didn't really care what I bought for it, to be totally honest. You could get them that cheap.
Yeah. Well, so SmackDown was definitely a great change around and things like that. And of course, that left Acclaim now in the out. But they carried on their WWF engine, and they created ECW Anarchy Rules, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And there was another one before that one. Anarchy Rules was their second one. I can't remember what
the one
before.
It's one on the Dreamcast as well, like that, where you got like baseball bats with barbed wire and you can whack them around people's heads.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not encouraging ECW. Children to be violent and that. Yeah, ECW, that was it. With Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, did you guys not watch ECW in its prime?
I did.
I'm not talking about the shitty WWE version.
I have seen some matches. They were really good.
My mate had a DVD or something where they're like hitting each other with baseball bats and that, and some of it does look quite realistic. But
ECW didn't fake shit.
But if you want to
this guy's head back together or something in one of them.
Yeah.
If you want more proper violent stuff, I recommend CCW, Combat Zone Wrestling. That is more violent.
But the thing is, that's just it. But ECW was good entertainment as well.
Yeah, it was.
Everybody basically had their own characteristic with ECW. And I like the game on a whole because it used a good engine on a basis. So it was something I was automatically familiar with. So it was all good there.
See, how did they do that when they like make out like in a WWF that they're actually cut? Because sometimes it does look, apparently it's just like, you know, like when you shave and you like nick yourself, it's sort of that. Because all you've got to do is like literally, you know, just a little scratch and it'll piss loads of blood out, won't it? Look much worse than what it actually is.
What I've seen some of them do is they hide the blade under some of the ring mats. So basically when they fall face down, so nobody could see and take it from underneath the mat and cut them.
And then they got stupid stuff like getting a cheese grater and rubbing it down someone's face.
Oh, that was real.
Yeah,
that was real.
Was it made out of plastic, though?
No.
No.
Just spray painted silver.
No,
but that's stupid.
It's stupid, but they did it for the entertainment.
What I don't like about wrestling, yeah, and I do understand why they took it off the English wrestling off Italian and that, because you get little kids that try and imitate like stupid things they see them do, and then it's dangerous, ain't it? Because some kids are like a bit thick and that, and they'll just do whatever. But they do though. My mate's little brother used to be like that.
Yeah,
and they end up hurting themselves or hurting someone.
I think one of the strangest things I ever saw in ECW, there's a guy there called New Jack.
Oh, New Jack, bloody hell, New Jack,
he's a fucking head case.
He is.
And he was in one of the fights where he's sitting there, he's brought a golf club into the ring, and you've got the commentator, Joey Styles, he's knocked his opponent over his own foot, he's put like a metal plate in between the guy's legs, and you hear Joey Styles say, "Guys, I wonder what New Jack's handicap is," and all of a sudden he's gone, whack, and smack the golf club into the metal plate. And then all you hear from Joey Styles is, "Well, we all know what his handicap is now." I'm like, oh, that's just terrible. When you look at the old ECWs, when you see them hitting each other with cheese grate, that's real, yeah. Mate. They knew what they were doing. They knew exactly when to, how deep to cut into it, and all these. But these guys didn't fake shit.
No.
But I mean, even no matter how much you know what you're doing, accidents can happen, can't they?
Accidents can happen, yeah. And we look at one of the matches in ECW. You had Sabu versus Terry Funk. They took the ring ropes down and replaced it with barbed wire.
Yeah.
And that was actually an option in ECW Anarchy Rules. Yeah. So if you got Irish whipped in game against the thing, you just stuck there and just lost health. And you're sitting there, goes, wow, they're doing this shit for real. You know something, guys? I think it's good. I think we're getting some of our good old memories of wrestling in here as well.
Yeah. But, well, as I said, the furthest I can remember on wrestling is not actually the American wrestling when we used to have it here, but you'd have to be like a certain age, like, to remember it on the telly on a Saturday afternoon.
Do you guys remember one? I think it was on the, I know it's a bit too near, but the Legends of Wrestling, I think it was Legends of Wrestling 2, actually,
yeah,
had
the UK version had the Big Daddy,
Giant Haystacks. I think it was Kendo Nagasaki. Yeah, and obviously it's like, oh, that is a nice touch.
It is. I think that was brilliant.
Yeah, that was a really nice touch, that was. Because I think at that point, I think the WCW license was pretty much in limbo.
Because originally, Legend of Wrestling, the first one, was originally meant to be an ECW game, so that's why Rob Van Dam was Sabu.
Ah, yeah. Right. I didn't know.
If you want to look Sabu up, the guy is a mental case.
He is.
He seriously is a mental case. He sat there, he literally split his knuckles open, and he finished the match. He completely lacerated his knuckles, and he still finished the match. He's done all sorts of shit, and he still carries on. Sabu, he's a nutball. And yes. Tommy Dreamer was the other one as well. You know the old Enziguri, where they flip over and kick him in the side head while someone's holding onto their leg?
Yeah.
Well, they called Tommy Dreamer the innovator of violence, because what he did, someone caught his leg. So he's looked around, he's basically stepped on a frying pan, and then kicked the frying pan into the guy's head. On the end of his foot. So now you know why this guy gets his name from. But waddling over back to WCW and back to the games. WCW games on the Nintendo 64 were pretty damn good.
They were fantastic.
They were really, really nice. The N64 got a very good batch of WCW games.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. And also the N64 got, I haven't played it, but some people do sit down and put it down as the best wrestling game that came out, was No Mercy.
Yes, it was. That was the best wrestling game ever created in the Nintendo 64.
What company done that?
THQ, I believe.
Funny thing is, it was done by AKA.
Were they part of THQ at the time?
Yeah, but they used the engine, yeah.
Ah, I see. Well, you played well, because some people still say it is the best wrestling game ever.
I 100% agree with it.
What's good about it?
Because there's so many amounts of wrestlers you can unlock in it.
Mm.
You've got like championship mode with all the belts. It was just the little things that just made it good. You could create any wrestler you want. You had the real American feat, you can create Hulk Hogan if you want. You can also play as Jerry the King Lawler, you can play as Jr. Mm. Even the ring announcer Howard Finkel, including Matt Cole as well, you can play as him.
Oh, nice.
You can also unlock Andre the Giant.
So it was the first one to really have the legends in it, was it?
Yeah, and even...
What's the fighting system like?
Really good and really easy to understand. It's like, you know, it's pretty much... If you play WCW, NWO's Revenge, you pretty much feel good with that. Or WrestleMania 2000, you feel all right with it.
I think No Mercy was just an extension of WrestleMania 2000 anyway, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, definitely.
Yeah. Then there was one on the Xbox, that was WWF Raw, wasn't it? For me, I played WWF Raw because they actually put it on a PC, and it was just too slow.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't think I've played that one.
I've got it on Raw. I've got.
Yeah, it was just too slow.
How can you play with a keyboard?
You can't. But Raw, it looked very good. It was very impressive in the graphical department.
Well, it's like the new one I played on not so long ago on the 360. I think it's Legends of Wrestling or something. I'm not 100% sure. It's got Hogan in and that. But they've gone for more like an arcade sort of. But I didn't think much of that neither. They're sort of like deformed, the characters are. I'm pretty sure it's got Ultimate Warrior in as well.
I may be totally wrong.
I've got the demo of it and I was that unimpressed with it. I never bothered buying it.
So it's one of those things. I reckon as the years went by, the plethora of good wrestling games stayed up there. Like I say, the N64, I think the N64 probably got the best out of a lot of them. Mm.
Well, there is one wrestling game that everybody thinks it is a bit better than No Mercy. It's a Japanese only release game, and it's called Legends. I can't remember what it's called now, but I heard that Japanese game is pretty much the best one they've ever done on the N64 after No Mercy.
Even better than WCW NWO ones.
Yeah, because I heard that John Cena once said it's one of his favourite wrestling games. Oh, I can't remember what it's called now. Oh, shit, what's it called again? Bloody hell, it's a. I know it. Let's have a quick gender for it.
Well, as Will goes humping through Wikipedia. There's a lot out there. If you're a wrestling fan,
right,
you've got Untold out. There you go.
I'm not sure whether I've actually played the. I played one on the Nintendo 64, and it was like it was a WCW one. And it was really, really good, much better than any of them on the PlayStation. So it must have been that one. But I never owned one. What it was is, this woman I used to go out with, her oldest son had a Nintendo 64, and he had like that, and he had. We used to play GoldenEye more than anything, and Mission Impossible.
Did you spend more time playing computer games than actually spending time with your girlfriend?
Well, it's like...
I found the game. It's called Virtual Pro Wrestling 2.
Oh, okay, okay.
What's so, that
it's,
on, then?
No, it's the counterpart of the WrestleMania 2000. It's actually only released on the Nintendo 64 in Japan.
Ah, right.
So, emulation fans, get out there. It's there.
Andre the Giant's in it, and Dr. Death, Steve Williams, Terry Funk Jr., or proper legends in there as well, including Tiger Mask.
Nice. As you were saying, Malk, as well, about you playing GoldenEye?
Yeah, because he had a PlayStation and that as well. No, I tell a lie. He wanted a Nintendo 64 instead. His brother, one of his mates, or his brother or someone, had the PlayStation. But then he ended up selling the 64 to get a PlayStation anyway. But yeah, I used to spend loads of time playing on the Nintendo 64.
We know that's the reason why it all split up, wasn't it, Mel? It's all your fault. Well, one thing I also did, guys, as well, I actually put a topic up on the Retro Asylum earlier this week. Give us some of their favourite old school wrestling games as well. Right, what I'll do is I'll go through the lists, and if anybody remembers them, we'll put the 2 cents in. Right, TL first. Ah, good old TL, he's always first to put on there. WrestleFest, the old version, not the new version. Well,
yeah, that's brilliant. True. Yeah.
Yeah, Superstars, WrestleMania. Yeah. He actually put Raw down. He didn't say which one, though. Super Wrestler, Attitude, Warzone, SmackDown 1 and 2, and again, No Mercy. Retro Shaman come up called Ringside Angels, which is a Japanese women's wrestling game.
Is that on Mega Drive?
Yeah,
I've played I've played it years ago.
What's it like?
It's pretty good. Yeah, it's all right because
I might look for it. I might play it actually.
Because I used to rent the games from this shop, local shop called Gardeners, where I come from. They used to have loads of like Japanese games, and they'd lend you the converter with it. You know, this is like
nice
1990 or something when I had the Mega Drive. So I've rented loads out. First one I think I ever had was DJ Boy. I played that. And then Ghostbusters, and then that wrestling game. Yeah, that was pretty good.
Is there a mud wrestling option?
I don't know. And they look more like sort of like lesbians, sort of. You know what I mean? More like blokes. Some of them.
You guys have never played Rumble Roses on the PS2, have you?
I've seen it. There's one on the 360 like that as well, I think.
Yeah. That actually had a mud wrestling option. Hoorah! And see, that game wasn't good because it used the original SmackDown control engine.
Yeah.
And the one thing I did like about it was on the original Rumble Roses, I don't know if it happened on the first one, if you kept winning with a character, like dirty wins, like cheating, pinfalls, disqualification, things like, it would actually change the attitude of the female wrestler.
Mm.
And then if it done enough to switch around into a heel, her appearance would totally change.
Oh. Yeah. That's pretty good.
So, yeah. And like I say, one character, I'm trying to remember, it's been a long time since it, but like I say, one of them is a sort of teacher sort of character.
Yeah.
And I think on a normal, she's got the sort of teacher look, but then when she switches over, she turns into a Miss Whiplash style sort of thing. So, like I say, and you could clearly see that this is her bad side.
Yeah.
By the way she dresses, the way she acts, because their ring entrance changes, and it was just a fun little game. So yeah, Ringside Angels might be after one for us.
Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out if it's the one I'm thinking of. But I'm pretty sure it is because it was a Japanese one.
Right, TL extended list, Shin Nippon, something else Nippon. Well, I want to play this something else Nippon. It sounds great. Fire Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, I played that. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to say something about Fire Pro Wrestling, didn't you, Will?
Yeah, it is it is very popular in Japan, but it is popular in America, but not as popular as it is in Japan. The only ones I've played is the one on the Game Boy Advance.
I was going to say, I know Nuna was one for the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, I played that.
So
it's a good game, but difficult to master. That's all I have to say about it.
What else we got here? He's mentioned WCW Mayhem, Backstage Assault. I didn't like Backstage Assault.
Me neither.
It wasn't good.
Mayhem was good,
though. Oh, yeah,
Mayhem.
Yeah. Andy, for me, it's got to be No Mercy, obviously. WCW versus NWO. Main Event. I can't remember.
Yeah, that's the arcade one by Konami. Four yeah. players. I think they made the wrestlers up. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yep. Again, Andy mentions Ringside Angel, WWF Superstars, Rock. He's mentioned Rock and Wrestle.
Yeah, Andy likes that. I'm sorry, Andy. I was disappointed years ago, but I was more impressed when I watched it on your video.
Wrestle War. That was one. That was
yeah,
on the Mega
I said
Drive,
that, didn't
it?
I? Before we recorded. Yeah, that's pretty good. Got huge sprites on the arcade and on the Mega Drive.
Oh, that's good for the time. SmackDown 2. SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain. Oh, that's the one with Brock Lesnar in it. That guy is a freak.
He is.
He is a freak. When he sat there, hoisted the Big Show up, and then they planted him clean on his head. That was just fucking amazing. How many other people do you know could stick 500 pounds on their shoulders and spin it round like a fucking top?
Nah, but he's the only one. But when he did that shooting star press at WrestleMania, bloody hell.
Oh,
it's a bloody miracle he actually lived.
Yeah, and then somebody also mentioned some of the other SmackDowns. So, but I think the SmackDown series, well, it's now WWE 12, WWE 13 now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, thank you guys for leaving your wrestling titles there. After seeing it, there's a lot to choose from wrestling wise. So we've given some of the our best views on the games for wrestling. But no, like I say I think wrestling's become a bit stagnant nowadays, don't you guys?
Well, yeah, I used to watch it quite a lot when we first got Sky, and then you just get sick of it, don't you? How over the top it is and that. Like, I think last time I watched it, it was before that. Is it you know Eddie Guerrero?
Yeah.
Is it Eddie Guerrero? His mate, the one that died.
Oh, that was him. He died.
Oh no, yeah, no! I think I'm getting the two mixed up. Hannah, what's the little bloke? Little Mexican bloke.
Oh, Rey Mysterio.
Rey Mysterio, yeah. It was when Eddie Guerrero was telling his son that he was his dad. And that's before he died. Yeah.
Oh, that was the day of some really stupid storylines.
They're ridiculous, aren't they?
Oh, it's true. But for anybody, when it comes to the WWE and WCW, it's the NWO era, and it was the Attitude era. Yeah. You just said with... All the big people have been in the Attitude Era. Steve Austin, The Rock, Triple H, Shawn Michaels when they were D-Generation X. Oh, they were just hilarious.
Yeah.
And the video they did where they're doing the sort of governmental speech and they're swearing and cussing. Oh, it was just brilliant. It was just absolutely brilliant. But they just don't have those charisma no more.
No.
They just don't seem to have any sort of personality no more. And that's just a really big shame.
Does anyone remember China?
Oh, anyone seen the porn film with her and what's her name in it?
Yeah, I have.
Weren't they a rumour about that China being a man?
There was, but no, she was a woman, but she had a very, very, very strange mutated clitoris, whatever it was. But no, China was a woman, put it that way. They tried to pass off sitting there saying, yeah, oh yeah, nah, she wasn't. She was all woman, as far as I know. But despite the fact she could probably sit there and break your neck underneath her arms, that's probably a different thing.
Well, she was the Incarnate champion, didn't she?
Yeah, you can. But mind you, she was one of the great gimmicks, wasn't she? Yeah. There's a female in wrestling now, and if anyone's seen, she's in the WWE now, but in TNA, she's known as Awesome Kong. She weighs nearly 300 pounds.
What's that? And unlike,
that's about 30 stone.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, and unlike China, where she was gimmicky, this woman can wrestle.
Yeah.
I saw her on a TNA show, and she literally picked up one of the other females who only weighs up like 120 and literally bent her around a ring post.
Ooh.
Literally bent, and then she picked another one up and wrapped her around her neck. And so they come to the point, you're going to have to fight the guys.
Yeah.
And she could. Yeah. That's the whole thing, because of her size and everything. She could fight the men. So, you know what? I'd like to see a good old resurgence of the old days. Bring me back some wrestlers back in the days when we used to play these games that had character.
Yeah.
That sit there, they were flamboyant. Give me back in the 80s, give me the Jake the Snake Roberts.
Oh, yes.
Was it all the other smaller guys, the British Bulldogs, the Hart Foundation, Coco Beware, these guys that had, even the smallest of people, all had personalities. Mm. And it's just lost.
Yeah.
I just sit there. I look at what white boy Vanilla Ice wannabe John Cena, and I just want to kill him. That's all I can say about that.
He's
a ticket of the
wrestling world.
He is. I remember once we sat there, he threw the t-shirt out to the crowd. They threw it back at him.
There's this other guy I don't like. What we used to do is sort of make up names for some of them, and I used to call him the gay bloke. I can't remember what his bloody name is. But his dad used to be a wrestler, a cowboy or something, his dad was.
You talking about Bob Orton?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about Dusty Rhodes?
I don't know. He's like... he looks gay, I think, anyway.
Oh, you talking about his son and Dustin? Was it Goldust?
I don't know what his name is. I don't know, actually.
there was always something so very questionable, especially about a lot of these guys as well.
And then they had that bloke as well, didn't they? I'm useless at remembering their names. Honestly, I'm, because I don't watch it enough.
I think the only guy that still maintains his character, even after all these years, even today, is still the Undertaker.
Yeah.
But didn't he go for a stage where he was the American Badass?
Yeah, he did. But even then, that was still good.
Yep.
I still like that part as well, because it gave him enough time off, because he'd been the Undertaker for so many years in the old. It was good to see a small change, and then eventually he went back to as he was today. And there was one person who made comment, is like, the Undertaker's entrances are always impressive. He says, but you've really got to be there to really feel the sort of presence which they've created with his entrance. Because they've turned around and they said, it's amazing. It's an amazing feeling to have this guy walk to the ring. And you actually want to know what still his best memory in wrestling is.
What's that?
His best, what?
But do you remember when they held SummerSlam over here back in 88?
Yeah.
He said his best memory of wrestling is when he was riding the Hurts at SummerSlam 98 in the UK.
Oh.
So there you go. He's just amazing. Sort of guy,
because like the Americans really love like stuff over here and that, don't they? You wouldn't think they would.
Oh, they do. It's just watch how some of us like the stuff they do over there.
Yeah.
So, okay, shall we? I would normally turn around and say, let's head to the reviews and things like this, but we've gained nothing, unfortunately, guys.
Yeah.
But anyway, even though we've got nothing there, we know the people are still listening and they're still tuning into us. So,
yeah.
Thank you to everyone. So we'll do the clean up now. So big thanks to everybody here. We'll start off with Will. Anyone you want to thank?
Everybody on the Retro Asylum.
Like I say, they unlocked the door the other day, so we was able to go get supplies. Your lemons are in the fridge.
Yep. My combustible lemons.
Yes. Malk, anybody you want to say?
Yeah, Sam as well. Everyone from the Retro Asylum. Andy, Glenn, Swiney, you know, everyone else.
Mm-hmm. Special give out to our video suppliers as well. Potty Boy. Yeah. Scoopy popped a new one in a short time ago, so always good to see.
I think Potty Boy's on holiday at the moment.
Yeah, I think he is. So, and I did have a word with him, so hopefully we might get him on the podcast soon as well.
Yeah, that'd be good. I've never spoken to him.
Yep. Hopefully we'll be having a few gaming nights as well, so let's see if he's got anything we can play as well. Big thanks to anyone who's listened to us on Podomatic. Thank you for, I know there's a couple of subscribers that have gone through to us. And again, thank you to On The Rocks, the American guys who do their little podcasts while drinking some sort of strange cocktail, which they usually give the recipe for at the description of the podcast. Coming back across the border, thanks to everyone on YouTube who's listening to the podcast. Big thanks to you guys. Without you guys listening, hey, we just love you listening because it just encourages us to do more.
Yep.
I'd like to say thanks to people on YouTube because I've got more subscribers now.
Yay!
When I get to 100, I'm going to do some... I don't know. I have to do something.
Gotta go do the but queen.
See, this is what annoys me, like, with some things, because on Twitter, I've done next to nothing, and I've got more people following me on Twitter, and I don't do anything, but yeah, I did a podcast and videos on YouTube, and I've got, like, nowhere near as many.
You know what it is? You know what it is, Mal? They're not fat. They're stalkers. They're waiting for you to reveal where your address and where you live is, then they're going to come kill you. But I say other podcasts, Gamer Dads, go give them a listen to as well. Listen to Moobit and Co. through their dadcast for modern day gaming and retrocast for their old style gaming. Definitely worth a listen to, especially their letter from the Queen. Definitely a laugh on there. The Odd Pod as well. I think the guy's moving house at the moment, so there hasn't been a new episode. I give my hat off to this guy. He's on his own. He's a one-man team, and he's bringing you the best his best week of ever in old school gaming and old school toys as well. So you never know, he might pick up that little curious little toy and then put a review on it, especially with Boglins the other week. Fantastic.
Another toy I was on about ages ago. I know it's sort of ties in with what Will's been doing. I used to have a Millennium Falcon. I don't know what happened to it, but like the thing with toys like that though, what kid keeps a toy in the box? You don't, do you? It's like your son, if your son's got toys and that, the kids wreck the boxes and that, don't they?
Oh yeah, they do. That goes to Star Wars. We're going to have to do a Star Wars themed sort of podcast soon.
Yeah. Check out the Atari ST version of Return of the Jedi. When it's got the Darth Vader at the start, you can hear a car horn in the background.
See, there's a thing the guys on the Gamer Dads keep asking as well. Which do you like better? Do you like Star Wars or Star Trek?
I like them both.
You like them both?
Yeah.
What original Star Trek or...?
Any Star Trek. Star Trek over Star Wars.
See, I can't stand the Next Generation whatsoever or any of the newer Star Trek. I like the old Star Trek, don't get me wrong, but I think that's brilliant. But the Next Generation is terrible. My mate's got every episode of that, and he's bored me to death with that for God knows how long, and that's probably why I don't like it. But Star Wars, the old Star Wars, the first three Star Wars films, yeah, superb. The new ones, absolute shite. My honest opinion.
I like a bit on the boat. I like a bit on both. So it's
I've only ever seen Return. No, Empire Strikes Back once ever in my life. I don't like that one out of the old ones, but Return of the Jedi and the first Star Wars, superb.
But let's say one more in there. Oh yeah, and the arcade and retro podcast. Well, you guys been listening to that one?
Yeah, I've listened to a few episodes of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's pretty good. These are the Irish fact finders. They bring you the cold hard facts to everything. So it's all good on that front from those guys. I do recommend you them to listen to if you want to listen to the truthful facts about things. Also, kind of inspired me to do my clock tower video I've got coming up on the site as well. So as that was a strange game, but we'll get to that another time. So big thank you to everybody who's listening, and please stay tuned as we've got more to come in the future. Okay, so it's a goodbye from me.
It's good for me.
Yeah, and thanks for listening. It's bye from me as well.